It is not for nothing that even Billy Collins now laments being called accessible at every reading, interview, introduction, and award ceremony. Synonymous as it is with unsurprising, bland, non-threatening, everything in short that a good poem thwarts in order to mean something never before meant in such a way by another human being. In a recent interview with Billy Collins on NPR's Talk of the Nation, the host of the program, Neil Conan, asked poets to call in to join the discussion of how poetry might increase its audience. About halfway into the program, a caller, one Rick from Sarasota, is on the air and he yells, "Hey," boisterously, and begins to read from his work. Rick from Sarasota reads for only about a minute, but 70 seconds of passionate doggerel on live radio in the middle of the afternoon feels interminable, and upon the poem's conclusion, Collins is quick to say, quote, "Well, it's a good thing John Milton didn't call in," end quote. The host and Collins share a hearty laugh here at the caller's expense. Poor Neil Conan is live on the air and actually in stitches, and when Rick from Sarasota mistakes their chuckling for a glowing review of his environmental screed, he uses it as an opening for more and begins, indeed, to read a second poem, saying, "I've got more. I've got a whole book here." Collins is laughing still, but you can hear the anxiety in it now, and then Rick from Sarasota says, quote, "Here's one on the tsunami," and he launches into it with the same eagerness of his first piece. Finally, Collins, now apparently fearing for his life, has to raise his voice, interrupting Rick's poem, and says, "Neil, are you there?" And they finally cut Rick from Sarasota off, citing time, of course, and, quote, "giving somebody else a chance," as though forced to explain what sharing means to an overzealous child hogging a playground swing. Curiously, the title of this episode of Talk of the Nation is "Collins Values Approachable Poetry, Not Pretension." Yet, what is this poem that Rick from Sarasota has called in to recite, if not approachable? Further, what are Neil Conan's and Billy Collins' responses, if not pretentious? If pretense is the presumption of importance and making an exaggerated outward show, surely their laughter at this man's poem and at Collins' exaggerated joke about Milton present exactly the opposite of what they sought to discuss. In other words, their conversation has drifted from approachability directly into pretension. The problem here is that it's funny. And in listening to this bit over and over again, transcribing it for the purposes of this discussion, I about fell over with laughter. The poem the caller reads is terrible. The passion with which the caller delivers his poem on national radio only enhances its terribleness. In fact, sometimes we are pretentious in the face of plain old approachability. Why? Because despite their program's efforts to prove otherwise, approachability is often tedious, full of expected turns and unsurprising language. In this case, it's didactic, redundant, and poorly measured to boot. But aren't they pitiless, then, for laughing at a novice poet calling up in earnest support of their very topic? Yes, they are. And so am I for laughing with them. Actually, I'm okay with that, so long as I don't have to pretend to enjoy bad poetry just because it's accessible and that a fifth grader can understand it. I love the idea of children's poetry, but not all poetry needs to please these young hearts. Indeed, not all movies should be made for a PG audience, and not all symphonies should be 3 minutes or less to suit the markets of the radio, if any remain. And anyhow, nobody more than Kenneth Koch has shown us that a poem by a 9-year-old is often far more fascinating than those written by adults, unconcerned as youngsters often are with what a poem should sound like. Of course, there's nothing wrong with writing about asteroids or the Dust Bowl for a popular audience. In fact, I'm glad for it. But that should hardly be an imperative to all scientists and historians. Lest you think I'm saying otherwise, allow me to assure you, I am a selfish, complicated person, and I want a poetry far more sophisticated, imaginative, and contradictory than I am. I don't need to see myself reflected in a poem. If I wanted that, I would sit around reading my own poems to myself, which occasionally I do. Jarrell put it like this, quote, "Which patronizes and degrades the reader, the Divine Comedy with its four levels of meaning, or the Reader's Digest with its one level so low that it seems not a level but an abyss into which the reader consents to sink? The writer's real dishonesty is to give an easy paraphrase of the hard truth," unquote. Actually, here is where I agree with Billy Collins when he says, quote, "Once the reader gets into the poem, I'm hoping that less accessible things start happening as the reader is moved into worlds that are a little more challenging, a little more hypothetical, and a little more mysterious," unquote. Even for Billy Collins, I'm sort of stunned to say, I'll admit, accessibility itself is really just a ruse, a Trojan horse to get to the more complicated activities of the poem. In fact, this call for accessibility in poetry is a ruse itself to prevent us from encountering language that might alter us. For John Yao, saying, quote, saying that poetry is inaccessible is just a comment on your own laziness, unquote. I think it's true, but I reckon it's worse than mere laziness. Nothing reeks of maintaining the status quo as much as this call for poets to be accessible. My favorite recent response about this is from an interview with Philip Levine after he was named Poet Laureate last year. The interviewer, Andrew Goldman, asks, quote, "I wonder if you agree with John Barr, the president of the Poetry Foundation, who, with the help of $200 million endowment, has been trying to popularize poetry by encouraging poets to write more upbeat poems." And Levine responds, quote, "Hell no. I can't believe this guy Barr is a poet, because I don't think a real poet would think in that way. When a poem comes to you, you're not going to say, oh no, this goddamn poem is just too mean-spirited. You're going to run with it," unquote.